throwing me down.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. And this is not just for CJ. I don't care who it is. If we are focusing on a subject that, you know, we are talking about, it would be nice if, you know, callers will stay on that subject. And we'll move around to other subjects. We don't stay on one subject, but, you know, when we're focusing on one subject, your calls are welcome when you're focused on that subject, no different than any other talk show host I know anywhere on the planet that don't allow callers to call in and change the subject before the host and his guests are discussing it. So, Sandy, let's go back to where we were before the last person called in. And I wanted to stick on what is going to be coming and hitting people who can least afford it, who don't have a lot of resources. I remember hearing people constantly say that a large percentage of the American people don't have $1,000 in the bank. You know,
yeah.
They own homes, right? They own automobiles, you know, and you know, some of the kids go to private schools. And all this stuff has been, a lot of it has been done through knowing how to use credit. Credit would help you live a lifestyle probably higher than what you could normally live, right?
Well, for sure. I mean, well, higher than you could prudently live.
Right.
Okay. And that's been possible. You know, the American economy has had, while we do have ups and downs, we've avoided very many perilous downs. And in your lifespan, during your professional time, yeah, we did have ups and downs. We had layoffs, but people understood that the layoff was temporary.
Right.
And there was a provision for income during the layoff that was maybe not as great, but it was enough to sustain. So it was something that was sustainable. Today, there's much less provision for income during layoffs. Layoffs are by no means, most people are fired, not right. laid off. So we don't have that same kind of cyclical layoff, come back to work, layoff
right.
kind of environment. The layoff is permanent.
Right.
And so we have much less stability in the employment marketplace. And we have a situation in which people still live paycheck to paycheck, sort of the American principle of spend and hope. And so, yes, the people... Many, many people in America are going to feel the squeeze of inflation, and that's the bitter pill of inflation. And the bitter pill is that the way to fix it is to take money out of the somehow reduce the amount of money available to the people who would otherwise bid the price of stuff up. And the only people who feel that pinch are the people who feel the pinch of how much money they spend. And, you know, that's basically the bottom 90% of the economy. The top 10% worry about how much they can save, how much they can put away for their grandchildren, but they aren't worried about whether they can afford next week or next month as the result of the increased cost at the grocery store or the gas pump.
So that added pressure that people are going to be feeling, there's generally a response, you know, in their homes and with their behavior and all sorts of
Well, sure.
Things.
I mean, you know, the response is added savings, right? So
sure.
If you get more prudent when your fingers get burnt on the stove, you touch the stove less. When you're short of money, you touch your wallet less frequently. But that has a double effect, right? So when you move from inflation, and when you finally stifle inflation by causing the consumer to be worried about how much things are going to cost in the future and their need to save money, you now have set the table for recession, because the consumer's buying habits have gone down, consumer confidence has gone down, and these are the things that are the leading edge of recession. When you have recession, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy with respect to income, right? Because
right.
people get laid off, get fired, incomes get pinched, increases in wages become eliminated, and you can end up with a long-term kind of psyche that, like the one we had from 1980 to 2000.
So
we went through it took us 20 years basically to get over the psychosis of the 1980 recession, because habits went down, and it's taken us at least now 12 years. You know, it took us quite a while to get over the psychosis of the 2008 recession.
But that 1980 recession was fueled by oil prices.
Yeah, it started. Yeah. The commodity shortage that started the inflation of the 70s was the 1973 Arab oil embargo. Right. And after that, we got an inflationary psychology like I've talked about, where people just believed that things were going to be more expensive in the future, and they bought them today. And furthermore, there was a wage spiral going up too. People were getting increased wages at a relatively fast clip, so they actually believed and could afford the 13% mortgage rate that they were suffering when they bought a house.
So is it conceivable to say, Sandy, that this coming recession and based on what happened in 1980 could last 10 years, 15 years? I mean,
well, business cycle recessions don't last that long typically, although we had a boom that lasted that long.
Right.
After 2008,
but that was propped up.
Well, 2008 was a recession that was took us to the ashes almost.
But the boom was propped up.
Yes, the boom was propped up for almost all 12 of those years were involved some kind of stimulus payments almost every year during the Obama period of his presidency. But through lots of bipartisan support, there were bailouts, there were stimulants. Then we had a couple of years of tax deductions under Trump, which is another form of stimulus, propping it up. We propped up the boom to the point of the pandemic recession, and then we had more propping.
But the deficits grew during that period of time. So it wasn't like the boom. The boom was riding in a blank check for the future, right? To deal with now.
Well, it's kind of like a family that was using their credit card for the 18 years of the child growing up, and when it comes time for the child to go to college, they're told by their parents, we can't afford to send you to college because we've got too much consumer debt. You know, we can't do this now for you. And that's kind of where we're getting at the point now, because we've got all this deficit expenditure. When interest rates go up, as we fight inflation, the servicing of that debt, the interest that we have to pay on the federal debt is going to go up. And, you know, where interest has been 1 to 2%, if interest goes up to 6%, that's three times the amount of interest we'll be paying on $27 trillion of debt. That becomes an enormous burden. So pretty soon the American economy's and is going to begin to tell the politicians, and the politicians will tell the people, we're sorry, we can't spend any more money on you, the people, particularly if we're spending it all on our defense.
You know, Sam, we got to hurry up and go to a break. Sandy is really making things difficult and painting a bleak picture, which is true, by the way. I mean, the picture is a fact. You know, you can't get around that. That's the reality of what we are facing.
Well, I'm just saying we face a rock and a hard spot. Whether we're going to get caught, whether we get caught uncomfortably in that rock and hard spot, it's avoidable, I think. I mean, it doesn't have to happen. But the odds of us becoming uncomfortable and uncomfortably wedged is getting increasingly high.
We've got to go to a break. We'll be back. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.